You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
And we're taking a look at some of the developments that have been unfolding in the world of legislation. We know that the president has been signing off a couple of things and signing new things into law. And we're going to be taking a look at some of the adjustments to the Companies Act. It's not often that this takes place, but when it does, it has a material impact on the things that we know. I'm joined on the line by John Buerta, who's the joint CEO at Global Business Solutions, to take a look at these developments. Good evening, John. Thanks so much for taking the time. Let's start by unpacking just what the three or four or five main changes are.
Good evening, Jimmy, to you and the listeners. Well, the big ticket items have got to do with transparency in respect of remuneration. We've seen a lot of noise in the system around what CEOs and directors earn. The second one, Jimmy, the second biggest to me is the Social and Ethics Committee, you know, the heightened focus on ethics, culture, and legal compliance, and of course in South Africa, transformation. Beyond that, making business a bit easier for smaller business, and a number of changes in terms of mergers and acquisitions and how they are regulated. So overall, you know, I think it's going to support a number of the systemic challenges we face in South Africa.
John, when we look at the individual changes, let's start with the remuneration policy. That's obviously a big one, and there's been a lot that's been said about this. We've seen in past companies, private companies at least, have their own remuneration policy, votes and committees and all of that. When we look at these changes, they're undoubtedly going to be some of the biggest ones. What are we expecting here?
Well, for the first time, Jimmy, what we are expecting is organizations that are listed on the stock exchange as well as public companies have to disclose the earnings of the top 5% and the bottom 5% averages of their employees as well as their median earnings. So for the first time, you're going to get tens of thousands of organizations that will publish that vertical, we call it the vertical multiplier, that shows the distance between the top earners and the bottom earners. And of course, South Africa, Jimmy, as you know, is the most inequitable geography in the world. So this represents a move for transparency so that activists, social partners like unions can start getting into this discussion and this debate, start to moderate that gap. So that's one of the big changes. And of course, if we've got mutual admiration societies in terms of directors that sit on boards and, you know, just approve year on year, approve unreasonable increases, even though the company's tanking, those executive or non-executive directors can potentially be suspended or even removed from office. So quite meaningful and far-reaching amendments.
Mm. John, what's happening on the Social and Ethics Committee sides?
Well, as you know, the president has promulgated a number of laws, the Hate Speech Bill, Cyber Crimes Act, of course, as we move deeper into the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Laws have to catch up. So we've had POPI, PIA, cyber crimes, and, you know, any form of online harassment and intolerance. So the Social and Ethics Committees, along with labor laws like the Employment Equity Act, BBBEE, you know, those committees will have a massive role in respect of ensuring that workplaces are not toxic, you know, ensuring workplaces' mental health and well-being is being addressed or are being addressed. So the Social and Ethics Committees have got significant responsibilities. And Jimmy, just one of the changes is if the company is not listed on the stock exchange, but they big privately owned businesses, so, you know, we call it the public interest score, more than 500, then they also have to have a Social and Ethics Committee with a certain percentage of non-executive directors. So to put it bluntly, it takes the focus just on the ticking of boxes away, and it actually says now the psychological safety of workplaces, the mental health, and the legislative compliance is going to be critical in organizations.
Mm. John, I wanted to bring that up, and I'm glad that you did bring it up, around the adjustments and who the adjustments affect, because we we have private companies, we've got public interest companies, but then we've also got public companies in South Africa. Who is affected by all these changes? And as a business owner, if you have a private business, what do you need to be preparing here?
Well, as a business owner of a private business that's not listed, you have what's called the public interest score. And to just simplify it, it looks at the number of employees you're employing. So if you've got a public interest score of more than 500, then you've got to comply with the Social and Ethics Committee requirement. So the number 500 can be calculated by looking at your total number of staff and your total turnover and one or two other indicators. So as soon as a company's got more than 500 staff, for example, take big security firms, you know, they've got thousands and thousands of security guards. So they'll automatically have more than a 500 public interest score. And now if they never had a social and ethics committee, with all these regulations, they will now have to put that in place. So that's the private non-listed company. We then move to obviously the JSE listed businesses, and they need a remuneration committee as well as the social and ethics committee. Now the remuneration committee, the big change there, one of the big changes, traditionally, the REMCOs focused on exec and non-exec remuneration. So you had short, long-term incentives and all that kind of thing. Now, by bringing in your bottom 5% of earners in a company, that remuneration policy has to be pulled downward across the organization because that vertical multiplier has to be decreased. And we've seen Investec and Old Mutual go to the media in the last few weeks publicizing that they're increasing their minimum wage and that they're going to make work of reducing the vertical income differential because of inequality and the systemic challenges we face.
John, we mentioned that all of this was largely driven by things around transparency and what we've been seeing in the rise of things like activist investments. How much of this is down to or potentially influenced by the position that we find ourselves with regards to FATF, the Financial Action Task Force, and the grey listing? How much of the lack of transparency has weighed in here, and is this kind of transparency what FATF is looking for?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's part of the entire ecosystem towards having more transparent, more regulation, and ultimately a more equitable, inclusive growth-focused environment. You know, reducing corruption, reducing monopolization in terms of mergers, acquisitions. So, you know, overall, it's a culmination of a range of issues and also modernization, you know, of governance structures within the environment. But for me, it's largely a social and economic construct.
So we certainly have a lot to still deal with and unpack. And before I let you go, John, I just want to look at some of the other implications that could come from this. We touched on this earlier, and you mentioned that if there are companies that are non-compliant or directors that are non-compliant, they face suspension and penalties. Do we know the full extent of what non-compliance looks like at this point, or is it going to come down to sort of applying the law and then taking it on a case-by-case basis?
Yeah, I think it's both. I think firstly, there's a very structured non-compliance. So in your remuneration committees, your shareholders will be voting on the policy. And if you fail a vote, if you don't get a majority vote on your REM policy, then you have to represent that remuneration policy, I would obviously assume in an edited format, an amended format. If you, the second time, do not get approval for that REM policy, then basically those non-executive directors may not be allowed to re-stand for election potentially. So it's a very structured approach from that point of view, where the dissatisfaction of the shareholders comes through very clearly. The other aspect, of course, is on a case-by-case basis. You know, so where these committees have non-execs, for example, just sitting there earning their fees, and they're not truly looking at the broader interests of all the stakeholders, especially in addressing inequality in South Africa, they're going to be highlighted and they're going to be named and shamed in the media and across various publications. Because now for the first time, as I said, you're going to get benchmarks per sector. So you can look at retail sector, you look at ShopRite, Checkers, we always see them in the news for the earnings of their, you know, the top leadership of these organizations. Now you're going to see an organization benchmarked against the norm for the industry. And those organizations are going to be targeted significantly, and the pressure is going to come to bear on their shareholders as well. And I don't mean it disparagingly, but many of these committees, et cetera, are literally mutual admiration societies where they don't want to question the status quo. And this is definitely going to set the cat amongst the pigeons.
Certainly some interesting times ahead. I can think of a couple of companies that have had remuneration policy decisions not go their way of late, but we'll keep an eye on these other developments as they unfold. But this is all you need to know for now around the Companies Act amendments. Thank you so much for the time, John, and for the insights. John Buerta, Joint CEO of Global Business Solutions, on the latest amendments to the Companies Act and what you need to know.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.